Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read this together. 1 Peter chapter 3. In the same way, you wives be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives. As they observe your chaste and respectful behavior, and let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair, wearing gold jewelry, or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. Thus Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands likewise live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to live to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers have been subjected to him. Amen. Okay, so when we get to chapter 3, we go back to the context of what the whole passage is talking about. And remember, Peter is dealing with a church, actually a bunch of churches all through Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, that are going through incredible persecution. And so he is giving them a word of encouragement. At the beginning is really a salutation and comfort. That, hey, I know times are tough, but God's with you. Let's band together. And then in chapter 3, he really gives, in essence, really the antidote of how to live in this time of punishment. In this time of suffering. And interestingly enough, the way that we are to endure in the suffering is by living a godly life. Now, when I was first reading this, I understood the outline and everything that Peter's trying to do, and I was like, that doesn't really make sense. What does that mean? So if I'm suffering, how is that tied to living a godly life? And I think it goes to this idea of conscience. I mean, I'm speaking myself here, this idea of conscience. When bad things are happening to you, when you're going through a difficult time, I think one of the first attacks that come is that we can very easily blame ourselves. In other words, you know what? I kind of deserve this because XYZ. This thing happened because I did this to somebody, and in essence, you are reaping what you sow. But in this context, right, Peter is saying, no, the antidote or the way that you really can live this thing out A better way of saying it is the answer to persecution, right, is this godly living that we can have. And so he poaches it, and he, remember, he talks about different things. In the beginning, in chapter 2, he was honor authority. And so there was about people that are in charge over you, you know, government, all these things, that you honor that. You honor the king, or in verse 17 of 2:17 is actually the emperor. That's actually a better translation. And so he talks about this, and we can do that because Christ is our example. And now he goes to chapter 3, and he picks on another human institution, which is now marriage. And so we have government, and now talking about marriage, and he says, wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, listen, the text is fairly pretty clear, and for all the ladies that are here, it doesn't say, ladies, be submissive to other men. That's not really, it says, be submissive to your own husband. Okay, and so it doesn't mean that you can just forget all other men, right? This is a common trait that we should all have, but particularly be submitted to your own husbands. And the Bible is not saying, you know, any ladies or anyone here wearing jewelry or have nice clothes, right? The text is not saying don't do that. It's not saying you wearing jewelry, bad person, you know, or you're dressed nicely, bad person. That's not what he's saying. Look at the context. He says, let not your adornment be merely external. So he's talking about the external parts. In other words, don't be so concerned with the external. It's okay to wear gold. It's okay to wear dresses. You know, and the term here is really talking about dressing nicely. It's, those things are okay, but let something else be more important in the context of the in verse 4, talk about the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable qualities. What you put on the outside is perishable. You know, our clothes eventually don't fit. I know that's a very sad day for many people. You know, I tried on 3 pairs of pants today. I had a little too much good time in France. And so it could be, you know, it could be a but all those things are perishable. But imperishable is the hidden aspects. It talks about the hidden person of the heart, the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so, I don't know why particularly this is a message to women, and I don't think it's meant to be in that way. It's both in essence, but it's a good warning, right? Don't be so concerned with outward appearance. Don't be so concerned with what you look like. Don't be so concerned with what you have on. Be more concerned with what's inside of our hearts. The gentle nature, that spirit that works. And it's amazing when you see that transformation, right? You know, I'll say this very, very, you know, upfront. You know, my mom, when believe it or not, some of you guys that knew my mom, when we were growing up, man, she was like the meanest person. I was scared of her. So much so that when I was a little kid, I actually broke a glass, and I was terrified. Because my dad never spanked us. It was my mom. And I was so afraid of her that I got some old towels, some rags, and I wrapped the glass, and I stuck it behind the furnace in our basement when we lived in Chicago. And I was terrified. And every time she went down to the basement, I was shaking, thinking, oh, no, she's going to find the glass. But after she got saved and she had a real encounter with Jesus, man, she just changed so much. You know, and in the past, maybe she was concerned with outward appearance, but man, she became the most gentlest. And you could see that spirit, and I tell you, it's not a personality. It's not a personality type, oh, this person is just more gentle than others. No, I think that's what God does in our lives. He makes us gentle. He does something. You can agree or disagree. You know, I even heard people say, wow, P. Sam, you're much more gentle these days. Right, and maybe it's having 3 girls. I don't know what the case is. I don't really think that much, but I've had a lot of people come up to me and say that. And I said, oh, maybe Holy Spirit is working in my heart. Maybe God is working my life in the same way. This gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And so he gives some examples of this. And then he turns to the husbands. And man, this is what's really amazing, okay? He says, husbands, likewise, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel. Now, weaker does not pertain to weakness of sex, you know, or lesser being. It's just talking about physicality. A weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And listen, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, this is really fascinating. We think about all the reasons why prayer is hindered. Prayer is hindered because of sin, okay? Prayer is hindered because of unbelief. Prayer is hindered because of selfishness. That's James 4:3 talks about this. Prayer is hindered through the unforgiving spirit. We read about this in Matthew 5, 22-24. There's a lot of reasons why prayer is hindered, but did you know one of the primary reasons that prayer is hindered is an unharmonious relationship with your spouse? I was like, really? I mean, I remember reading this before, and I was like, really? That doesn't make any... I was like, wow! That's how much value God gives to the marriage relationship. And if you're in an unharmonious relationship with your spouse, and this is predominantly talking to men now, it says your prayers can be hindered. You know what happens as a head of the household when your prayers are hindered? Your whole family's jacked. I mean, you introduce so much evil, so much demonic presence into your family as gatekeeper simply by having an unharmonious relationship with your spouse. That's crazy to think about this. But that's how much, not just how much of value that God gives to the husband and wife relationship, but also pertains to the power in the husband and wife relationship. And I mean, you know, we know, and many of us that are married here, you know that the family is just funky when you and your spouse and you and your wife, you're just not connecting. And we understand that in a human realm, but Peter is trying to get us an understanding in a spiritual realm that your prayers, it's this idea of your prayers go up to God and it just bounces off the ceiling. And so, man, this is a good word to many of us husbands that talking about the spiritual life, not talking about marital life or family life, but purely in the spiritual life that you have a good relationship with your wife. It's something so powerful about this, right? So that your prayers may not be hindered. And to sum up, so this is what he's saying to men, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit. And when we look at this, now I don't want to sound sexist or anything like this, but you're really looking at, and this idea of these descriptions are more kind of female qualities in some way. And so in essence, I mean, this is my take on this. Peter's just saying, hey, don't be so much like a guy, you know, be gentle, you know, be loving, be kind-hearted, harmonious, sympathetic. He does throw the brotherly in there, so that's kind of good. There's a man quality in there somewhere. And humble in spirit. Look, don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. Isn't that what we typically want to do as soon as we have a fight with our spouse or someone? You want to defend yourself. You want to, you know, well, you did this. Well, you know, it's because you did this, or, you know, this happened because of this. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't return evil for evil. I really like that phrase, right? He really calls it out. Don't turn evil for evil. In other words, it's not like, you know, in our language, it's like debating a point. I'm just giving you my side of the story. God don't care about your side of the story. Okay? I mean, let's just make it very plain. Don't return evil for evil or insult for insult. You always do this. Well, you never do this. You know, and back, don't return insult for insult. Right? And I'm speaking with passion because this is, I'm guilty of this a lot in my own life. And instead, look what he says, instead, giving a blessing Isn't that great? And so Peter really is, what he's talking about is starting to move in the opposite spirit. Instead of, you know, evil's coming your way. In other words, turn it around and make it a blessing. For you recall for this purpose that you might inherit a blessing. So he's calling us to a much higher standard. Then he starts quoting the psalm a little bit. And then in verse 13, he starts a new thought. I mean, it's continuing the thought, but a little different one. And he says, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? See, the best answer to persecution is godly living. Just to say, man, I have a clear conscience. I'm doing everything right, and yet I'm getting persecuted. And when that happens, he says there's a blessing in store for you. For next verse says, for even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. So we live godly lives. We're suffering. We're going through persecution. It's not because we did anything bad. It's not because we sinned. We're not sowing or reaping what we have sown. Instead, what happens is, and even if we do encounter suffering and we do encounter persecution, Peter says, man, because you're godly, because the enemy has nothing on you, you are going to be blessed. There's an incredible blessing in store for you that walk in this way. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. But, verse 15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. And this is, remember, in the last couple times we've been here, we talked about one of the major aspects, one of the major themes in Peter is this theme of hope. And so this is what it says. He says, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks to give you an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Isn't that wonderful? He's saying here, and a lot of times we translate this, and this is basically like an evangelism passage. And it is, and I don't want to take away from that, but Peter is talking about something a little bit different. He's saying that, and we can relay this in the world. He's saying that because of persecution, you should be acting like this. Like this should be your demeanor. But, wow, you have so much hope. And so because of that, people are going to ask you why. Isn't that amazing? And I've had people, at work, and particularly I remember one of our brothers at church was mentioning that I guess that year the bonuses were really low. Everyone else was complaining, I'm worth a lot more than this and whatnot. And he was just so at peace with everything. And all of his other colleagues were coming up to him and says, hey, what's wrong with you? I mean, that's literally what they said. What's wrong with you? How come everyone else is complaining and you are at so peace? And then he got to share the reason for the hope that's within him. That he doesn't react like the world does. That really, it's his hope is built on something else than in his paycheck. It's built on the rock of Christ. And there are going to be times, and maybe, in some way, maybe that is the purpose of persecution. Maybe in some ways that, because we always talk about God as a bigger plan in these things, maybe that's one of the reasons that God places us in positions or in situations and so that it intrigues the world. Do you know what I mean? And there's something, there's an opportunity, I believe, in the house of God for that to happen. Because in a sense that there's an opportunity for you, not just to share your faith, but to have that hope arise within us. That are we able to praise even in the midst of difficulty? Do you know what I mean? There's power in that. And the world is intrigued by this. The world is intrigued by forgiveness. When you read stories or Time Magazine or something about this incredible act of forgiveness, the world pays attention to these things. And this is just Christ living kind of stuff. This is like normal everyday stuff for Jesus and the followers of Christ. But the world takes notice of that. The world takes notice of incredible generosity, and not from billionaires, right, but from the poor. There's many of these aspects that come into our mindsets. And so something that there's a hope that rises up within us. And I pray that when those times come, that we'll be able to move in that way. And also, he says, having a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. Right? Always going back to those good works. Always going back to that godly living. You are persecuted because you're living godly. Man, you're blessed. And not only are you blessed, but those ones that are slandering you that way, they're going to be put to shame. Isn't that an amazing thing that happens together? And so in other words, God says, man, I've got your back in this whole thing. And so again, the reason why we can do all this goes back to Christ. And so he'll end this thought, just like he ended the thought before, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And so everything that we have, our example, always, Peter always points it back to Christ. Hey, we can suffer. We can endure persecution. We can, because that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. And he is our living example for these things. Amen? All right, let's close our eyes. I want us to meditate a moment. If you are married today, I think this is a simple message for us. Live in harmony with our spouse. That harmony is going to bring about answer prayer. For others that may not be married, still think about that idea of that hope that arises in the midst of persecution. Maybe you're going through a time right now where there's suffering. And now, the suffering that Peter is talking about is not suffering that you bring into your life. In other words, it's kind of like, you know, you start dating and you know, not married, and you have sex with someone and you have a baby. There's a sense of suffering there, right? That's not talking about that kind of suffering. It's talking about persecution. And maybe you're going through that kind of season for whatever reason. And in that sense, let hope arise within us. Because I think in a lot of those seasons, we test our value system. What do we really value? Maybe you're going through suffering out of your own will. In other words, you kind of brought it upon yourself. You're not excluded from the grace of God either. That God still redeems as well. But let that hope arise within us. As Yvain leads us in a song, let's go to the Lord and meditate and pray.
Bow down and the seas will roar. Jesus. My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord on the earth, let us see power and majesty, praise you, the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. Sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in
Let's pray this morning as a reflection from the text. Let's pray that in whatever circumstances come our way, that hope would always arise. That hope would arise, and not just a hope that is internal, but a hope that the world can see. That they'll ask us, hey, why are you so different? Why are you so calm? Why are you so peaceful when the world is falling apart all around us? When the company is going down or whatever is going on, what's so different about you? And that we would give the answer for that hope that was within us. And let's pray that that hope would arise in every circumstance of our life. And let's pray that for ourselves. Let's pray that for our church as well. Let's go before the Lord. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God's hand to be with our friends, especially those that are sick and dealing with some form of cancer. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to bring that healing word into their lives. Let's pray for God's hand to be with our friends. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for those that are ill, but more than that, that need to meet Jesus. Let's pray for people to come around them, family members, workers in the hospital that follow Christ, and that they would share Jesus and their life with them. So let's pray for healing physically, but also healing spiritually. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our community that's suffering from non-cancer related illnesses. Let's ask God's hand to be with them and that His healing word will continue to flow through their lives. Let's lift up. Let's go to our mission prayer focus. Let's pray this morning for our local ministries and local churches here. Pray for YWAM, Sports Services International, Godwin and Shanti Ministries, Masters Beauty, the Red Light District Outreach. Pray for face-to-face, and particularly Pastor Jimmy as he recovers from his knee surgery. Pray for Feed the Hungry and CSW. Let's ask God to continue to minister to these places. Pray for the churches here in Hong Kong, local churches, ethnic churches, international churches. Let's pray Holy Spirit would just breathe and just really anoint every leader and church, and they would just grow and just do what God's called every one of them to do. And let's lift up these ministries and these people, our friends. Let's pray for our missions committee. Pray for Pastor Eugene, Jamie, John, Sarah, Jisun, and Kiwan. Pray that God speaks to them about our mission initiatives, and the Lord give them wisdom and where to go and who to support, how much, you know, all those considerations. Let's just ask God to just continue to speak through this group, to this group, and through this group. Let's pray. Let's pray for local outreach. Pray for our community center, that the center be used well for His glory. Pray for the Agape, for the English and computer. They have a retreat coming up this weekend. We can cover them as well. Pray for the homeless ministry, for SP Lights and prison ministry. Heard a couple of people got saved last week at the prison ministry gathering. Let's just continue to pray for fruitfulness, and but really that people of God would minister wherever they go. And so let's pray for our local outreach, our ministry. Pray for Pastor Sophia and for Janella as they staff this ministry. And let's just lift them up. Let's pray over Hong Kong. Let's pray over our government. Ask God to bless the leaders. Pray particularly over the wealth gap, which is one of the largest in the world. Pray for revival in this city. You see on the thing, it says city on a hill. I pray that Hong Kong will truly be that city on a hill. I feel like God spoke that to me a couple months ago. And to pray over this place, and also that Hong Kong would be that light to China. Let's just really pray that that this city would be a city that just burns for God. Let's lift up. Let's pray for McCain House Church that meets tonight. Let's pray for Jimmy and Boyoung and KJ as they lead. I pray that they would just continue to draw near to each other. You know, aside that, IP is also meeting tonight. Let's pray for a powerful time of intercessory prayer covering the church, individuals, and the city. And so let's pray for McCain and pray for IP. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word this morning, God, and thank you for your care in our hearts, that even, God, in the midst of persecution and difficult times, God, there's always a reason for hope to rise up. And I pray, God, that you would work in such a way in the midst of suffering, God, that hope would rise, and it would cause people to ask questions. It would cause people to come to you, Lord God. And Lord, and the only example that we have is you. And so we thank you for that, God. We bless you, Lord. Watch over us today as we seek to serve you, to serve the lost and the unfortunate around us, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today, and enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you guys tomorrow morning.